Nobody in the kitchen. Okay, so can you hear it? Everyone here?
Yeah.
Room here? Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 16, text 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I guess nobody else, you just said it. So, Atmanam.
Atmanam.
Chanu shochami.
Chanu shochami.
Bhavantam.
Bhavantam.
Chamarotamam.
Chamarotamam.
Sarva, Devan.
Devan.
Pitrin.
Pitrin.
Rishin.
Rishin.
Sarun. Sarvan, Varnams, Tatashraman. So, I guess we can try. Atmanam chanu shuchami.
Atmanam chanu shuchami.
Vantam chamarotabham.
Vantam chamarotabham.
Devam pitrin rishin sadun. Sarvan Varnam Sitashraman. Atmanam Chanu Shuchami. Vantam Chamarotamam. Devan Pitrin Rishin Sadhun. Sarvan Varnam Stitashraman. Atmanam Chanu Shuchami.
Atmanam Chanu Shuchami.
Vantam Chamarottavam.
Vantam Chamarottavam.
Devan Pitrin Rishin Sadhu.
Devan Pitrin Rishin Sadhu.
Sarvan Varnam Stitashraman. Anyone else?
Atmanam Chanusuchami.
Atmanam Chanusuchami.
Bhavantam Chamarottamam.
Bhavantam Chamarottamam.
Devam Pitrim Rishim Sadhu.
Devam Pitrim Rishim Sadhu.
Sarvam Varnam Satasranam.
Sarvam Varnam Satasranam. Atmanam chanu shochami.
Atmanam chanu shochami.
Bhavatam chamarottamam.
Bhavatam chamarottamam.
Devam pitrim rishim sadhun.
Devam pitrim rishim sadhun.
Sarvam varnam tathasaranam.
Sarvam varnam tathasaranam.
Okay, yes, that's it. Atmanam,
Atmanam.
Myself,
myself.
Cha,
cha,
also,
also.
Anusochami,
lamenting,
lamenting.
Bhavantam,
yourself,
cha,
as well as,
as well as.
Amara uttamam, the best amongst the demigods. Devan, about the demigods. Pitrin, about the denizens of the Pitriloka planet. Rishin,
about the sages.
Sadhun, about the devotees. Sarvan,
all of them.
Varnan, sections. Tata, as also.
Ashraman.
Hmm. Orders of Human Society. Translation. I am thinking about myself and also, O best amongst the demigods, about you as well as about all the demigod sages, denizens of Pitriloka, devotees of the Lord, and all men obedient to the system of Varna and Ashram in human society. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To effect the perfection of human life, there is cooperation between men and demigods, sages, denizens of the Pitriloka, devotees of the Lord, and the scientific system of Varna and Ashrama orders of life. The distinction between human life and animal life therefore begins with the scientific system of Varna and Ashrama, guided by the experience of the sages in relation with the demigods, gradually rising to the summit of reestablishing our eternal relation with the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. When God made Varnashrama Dharma, which is strictly meant for developing, animal consciousness into human consciousness and human consciousness into godly consciousness, is broken by advancement of foolishness, the whole system of peaceful and progressive life is at once disturbed. In the age of Kali, the first attack of the venomous snake strikes against the God-made Varnashrama Dharma. And thus a person properly qualified as a Brahmana is called a Shudra. And a Shudra by qualification is passing as a Brahmana, all on a false birthright claim. To become a Brahmana by birthright claim is not at all bona fide, although it may be a fulfillment of one of the conditions. But the real qualification of a Brahmana is to control the mind and the senses and to cultivate tolerance, simplicity, cleanliness, knowledge, truthfulness, devotion, and faith in the Vedic wisdom. In the present age, consideration of the necessary qualification is being neglected, and the false birthright claim is being supported even by a popular, sophisticated poet, the author of the Ramacharita Manasa. You got to be careful about that when you offend people. Prabhupada is speaking very strongly because that's Tulsidas he's referring to. That's a very heavy statement, especially in places like Bihar, where they really, he's like their, you know, their hero, yeah. Tulsidas. And not so much in Bengal, but primarily in Bihar and also in Uttar Pradesh, too. That he's considered, you know, wow, that's the Ramayan for them. Because he's the author of the Tulsidas Ramayan and Ramacharita Manasa, which is actually written in vernacular Hindi so people can understand it very well. He's also a devotee, but he's confused. He's not a pure devotee, Prabhupada said, and he says certain things. Anyway, I'll talk about that in a second. This is all due to the influence of the age of Kali. Thus, Mother Earth, represented as a cow, was lamenting the regrettable condition. Atmanam janasyo chami bhavandam charamarottamam devan pitrin machine sadhun sarvan varam stithashamam. So, Prabhupada's picture. Om Agadati Madanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Maha. So this is a very familiar topic to the devotees, and it's the topic of Varna and Ashrama. So, of course, Varna, the literal meaning of the word Varna in Sanskrit is color, which is interesting. So it's not that it refers to one's color of skin, but it refers to the color of the modes of nature. You understand? Like there's goodness, passion, and ignorance. Ignorance is dark. Goodness is light. And passion is red. That's why some people who like passionate things, they like the color red a lot, right? Just like if you have a marriage, what color does the bride wear?
Red.
Red. Yeah, so. Because that's passion. The attraction between men and women is passion. So therefore, that's why varna, the word is used, varna. And ashram comes from the word ashraya, actually, which means shelter, which is interesting. So we're going to describe both. You know, a shelter means that the different ashrams, which is brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, are supposed to be the shelter from the material world. In other words, you're taking shelter. So you don't act like an animal. That's the point. It gives you some shelter. So let's talk about varna first. Of course, Krishna, of course, in the Gita says, chapter varna mayashras dam, aguna karma vivagasha, that one is understood to be of a specific caste, and actually, Krishna doesn't use the word caste, but you know, anyway, a particular nature, let's say nature in terms of goodness, passion, and ignorance, according to his qualities and work, not according to his birth. I mean, this is quite a common thing that we preach about, especially if we're in India. You know, someone says, I'm a Brahmin, I'm a Trivedi, Chaturvedi, Dwivedi, Sharma. I remember I was in Fiji one time, and there was this funeral going on, and they had hired this Brahmin to do the funeral. Let's put that. Let's see, put that on. Put it over here. Sun. So they had hired a Brahmin to do the funeral, because in Fiji they have Brahmins have to be licensed by the government. It's not like that in India. In India, you know, everybody can be a Brahmin. You just put on a two-piece thread and you're a Brahmin. But in Fiji, because half the country is Indian, but they're actually from Bihar. So 90% of them from Bihar. Gujaratis are there because they're making money from the Biharis. They move. That's true. They've been moved to Fiji for that reason. So the government licenses the Brahmins. You have to have like a special license, like a driver's license, you know, with a picture on it. I'm a Brahmin. So there was a funeral going on by this ritualistic Brahmin. He was kind of a nice guy. He was pretty brahminical. And then the head of the whole Brahmin Shabbat, you know, the organization, came in. And he was outside for a second smoking his cigarette. Not a beedi, because in Fiji they don't have beedis, they just have cigarettes. So he was smoking his cigarette, put it down, came in, supervised what the younger Brahmin was doing, and then said, "You're doing a very good job," went outside, smoked a cigarette again. So I was thinking, this is really a Kali Yuga Brahmin. Now there's a reason, it's interesting, there's a reason why many so-called Brahmins or people born in Brahmin families act like that or don't have the qualities of a Brahmin. And that goes back to the whole Mahabharata story. That in the Dwapara Yuga, before the Mahabharata war, the demons took birth in Kshatriya families. Did you know this? This is a story that's partially discussed in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and in the beginning of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 8th canto, you have this big fight between the demons and the devotees and the demigods. I mean, there's the churning of the ocean of milk. Then after that, Mohini Murti gives the nectar to the demigods. Then after that, the demons attack. Then after that, Krishna starts killing some of the demons like Viprachiti and Kalanemi, who later on became Kamsa and Jarasandha. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. So Krishna kills them, and then the demons get powerful again because they follow their spiritual master, Shukracharya, who empowers Bali Maharaj. And then Bali Maharaj is tricked by Lord Vamanadeva, and the demigods become more powerful again. Then the demons take birth on the earth planet in Kshatriya families. And then Krishna has to come down with the demigods to kill them all. The 10th canto, of course. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and the whole Mahabharata's about this. So Krishna has to come down to get rid of all these demoniac kings. So the kings in Dwapara Yuga, at least in the end of Dwapara Yuga, were actually the demons who had taken shelter of the earth planet in order to escape from the demigods. Anyway, and then, so then they were killed. And so then in Kali Yuga, many of the Brahmanas, according to the Bhagavatam, they're demons. That may come as a surprise. Not all the Brahmanas. We don't want to offend great devotees of the Lord. There are many great Brahmanas in India. But many of the so-called Brahmanas, they're actually demons. How do we know when someone is a demon? You know, pravatim cha, nivatim cha, janan navidur asura. Because they preach against Dharma. Or they're cheating. In other words, they're using their brahminical status to make money. I mean, that, it's not that they're demons with horns on them or anything like that. Darth Vader or something like that. In the Star Wars. Of course, probably you've never seen that. I'm sure you have. So anyway, so they're not demons like that, but they're acting in a way that's contrary to religious principles, not brahminical. Because Prabhupada said that if you earn money, you know, you charge money for your brahminical activities, you lose your brahminical status. You lose it. I mean, actually, anyone who takes employment, in one sense, is losing their brahminical status. But that's another issue. So, and Prabhupada said that one who is, he had a Bengali saying, and I'm sure you know what this saying is in Bengali, that if one is making money from the deities, then it's like taking a shalagram shilit to crack nuts with. You heard that saying before?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a saying in Bengali. You should know the Bengali for it. You don't. Anyway, what can I do? You're from Bengali. No. But anyway, so in other words, we find many of the Brahmanas, they're just doing their business. There's pakabaniya. You know that, and that means
yeah.
A good businessman.
Businessman.
Good pakabaniya means good businessman. And you go to a holy place sometimes, and the pandas, they attack you to get money. We have certain places we go to with Govardhan and take the devotees, and we say, just run through this holy place. Because if you don't run, they will grab onto your dhotis and saris, demanding money, isn't it? You ever see that? They just grab on. You know, don't go, don't go. Or they'll say, we'll curse you unless you give money. Sometimes, you know, you give them 10 rupees and they throw it back in your face and they say, we curse you because you didn't give enough.
So many places.
So this is Kali Yuga. Because a Brahmin, what are the qualities of a Brahmin? Of course, we know from Gita, you know, Samadhamaktapachochamchanchirajavamevacha. He's peaceful, equal poised. In other words, whatever Krishna sends, that's it. You know, he's not greedy for more. Krishna sends a lot, like Sudama Brahmin. Sudama Brahmin was a real Brahmin. He was not greedy for more. His wife wanted more, but
yeah.
But he didn't want more. And he just went, when he went to see Krishna, he didn't say, Krishna, you know, give me a donation. You know, Krishna is God. Krishna has everything. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. You know, obviously, he's a pretty rich man. Just like sometimes here in New Orleans, you have a list of all the rich people here. But Krishna is not a poor man, as Prabhupada said. Krishna is a rich man. So when he went to Krishna, he simply, well, obviously he offered that chip rice, you know, that, which wasn't so good. And the goddess of fortune stopped Krishna from eating too much. But he became blessed. He didn't ask Krishna for anything. He just accepted. That's a Brahmin. I mean, that is a real Brahmin. A Brahmin who would give away everything in charity. There's like this story in the Mahabharata about this Brahmin who was starving to death. He and his family were starving to death. And then a guest came and he fed the guest everything that was meant for his family. And because he was so pure, whatever little remnants of food that fell on the floor, this animal rolled in and became gold, mongoose. You know that story? No. Anyway, not going to tell the whole story. So it's a very interesting story. So that's a Brahmin. And that's a Brahmin. And a Kshatriya is not someone who likes to fight, is someone who likes to protect religious principles. A Kshatriya is chivalrous. He's not just like some kickboxer, you know what a kickboxer, or dirty fighter, or like you have the soldiers nowadays, they just like to shoot someone from a distance.
Yeah.
He was chivalrous, just like you have Jarasandha. Jarasandha and Bhimsen and Krishna and Arjuna, they would eat together at night and then they would fight during the day. You know that? That's chivalry. That's nice. You know, it's just very chivalrous. It's just gentlemanly. They're not malachas. And they're interested in protecting religious principles. So that's a Kshatriya. And a Vaishya, of course, Vaishya likes to make money. Vaishya can cheat sometimes. Anyway. And a Shudra has no control of his senses. He's in the mode of ignorance. So, you know, Shudra's in the mode of ignorance. Vaishya's in the mode, mixed modes of passion and ignorance. Kshatriya's in the mode of passion. And Brahman's in the mode of goodness. So this is what makes someone a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. By the modes. And you can see what mode someone is in. Just like if you want to test someone, you put, just like in the sacrifice they do for children, they put the different implements of the different varnas in front of them, right? You ever seen that for the children? They put a book, gold, yes, a sword, and a hammer. And the child picks it. That's what, that was actually done by Drupada when he wanted to see whether the Pandavas were Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. They dressed as Brahmins. It's interesting. They dressed as Brahmins, but they obviously had big muscles. So they had to have, they were covered more than normal Brahmanas were covered because they didn't want to show their muscles. So Drupada wanted to see what sort of people or person married his daughter Draupadi. So we put forth a sword and bows and arrows and javelins, and he also put money and he also put books, and the Pandavas immediately went for the swords and the javelins and the bows. So that's how you can see. So all of us also have a particular varna, even though we're devotees of Krishna. Or we're trying to be devotees of Krishna, we actually have a particular nature, isn't it? Some people, you can't change it. You know, people think you can change it, but generally, no. Like Arjuna, he was told to stick with his varna. So we should understand what our varna is. You know, do you like studying? Do you like doing deity worship? Yeah, you're Brahman. You can do that for 8 hours a day, you're a Brahman. Or, do you like managing? Like, Shradadev likes to manage. He's an expert manager. He's an expert manager. No. Actually, giving up something because it's difficult, according to Krishna's renunciation and the mode of passion. You've got to study the Bhagavad Gita. So don't want to be in renunciation of the mode of passion. Renunciation of the mode of goodness is do your duty because it's a sense of duty. Duty.
That's why he don't want to take second initiation. Even
Kshatriyas take second initiation. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Brahmins take second. They're all Dvija, twice born. So, anyway, so just like he's Kshatriya because he likes to manage. Right? That's good. We need Kshatriya. Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He was a pure devotee. Yudhisthira was a Kshatriya. Yudhisthira was half Brahmin too, you know. Bhimsen was Kshatriya. I mean, these are pure devotees. There's nothing wrong with being Kshatriya.
Yeah.
Or Vaishya. Someone is thinking more money, more money. Like Prabhupada said, Krishna says in the Gita, the Vaishya has just wants unlimited desire for money. So, I mean, or taking care of cows, wants more and more cows. And we don't want money, gold. Basically gold, cows, land. That's Vedic opulence. So if someone's a Vaishya, what's wrong with being a Vaishya? Nanda Maharaj was a Vaishya. Right? Wow. Nanda Maharaj is a Vaishya. a pure devotee. Krishna was a Vaishya. Krishna is a Vaishya. Right? He's a coward boy. Sometimes, you know, Krishna has a Brahmin friend, Madhu Mangal. But Madhu Mangal was simply interested in ladus. What kind of Brahmin was he? And Krishna the Vaishya is simply interested in his girlfriend. And the cows. You know, it's a Vaishya. Nothing wrong with being a Vaishya. The Shudra, Shudra Mahajan, you know, there's many great Shudras who are pure devotees of the Supreme. And they're just serving.
Yeah.
They're just serving nicely. So one should understand their nature and serve Krishna utilizing your nature. Otherwise you're not going to be happy in Krishna consciousness. And then also understand what your ashram is, proper ashram, whether you're brahmachari, rasta, vanaprastha, sannyas. You don't want to be a gentleman brahmachari or what's called a bachelor brahmachari. You know, you have to fit in a certain ashram. And this keeps society stable. And when society is stable, the game is over already?
No.
How come you're here? The game is not over.
One session is done. Pakistan finished wedding. Now half an hour break. Then
oh, half hour break. That's why you're here in Bhagavatam class, because there's a half hour. For those of you who are watching on the internet, there's a cricket game between India and Pakistan. So all the devotees are watching the cricket game, but they're so merciful to come to class when there's a commercial break in the game. So this is New Orleans or New Bengal. So anyway, so Brahmachari, so one has to understand Jai Shri Radhanatha. Shri Gornatai Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. So one has to understand their nature, and in this way they can be peaceful. And as Prabhupada says in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he's talking about the story, actually 9th canto, talking about the story of Gajendra Mokshana, you know, the liberation of Gajendra, the elephant, that one has to be in the proper ashram and varna to be able to fight with Maya. To be steady in one's progress in devotional service. So varnashram is extremely important. Should not be neglected. Because we don't think that you're a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but you should understand your nature. So you can serve Krishna according to your nature. Like Arjuna, he's a pure devotee, but he's serving Krishna according to his nature. Krishna never said to Arjuna, change your nature. Become a Brahmin. Arjuna wanted to change his nature. He wanted to renounce.
Yeah.
It's like, you may want to renounce. But Krishna said, no. But your nature, you'll be forced to act. Like if you don't manage for Krishna, you'll be managing some hotel somewhere. So better to serve Krishna with one's propensities. Like, Krishna said to Arjuna, if you don't fight for me, you're going to be forced to fight by your nature. So varnashram, extremely important. But of course, when you're following varnashram, you have to be a devotee too. You still have to chant your rounds, you still have to follow the principles, you still have to serve Krishna, and do your sadhana and everything like that, and read the Vedic literatures. These things are very important. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
You're talking about the Gajendra Moksha story.
Yeah.
The elephant is the previous life of Indradhanu Maharaj.
Indradhanu Maharaj, yeah.
Which Indradhanu Maharaj? In that time, that Indradhanu Maharaj, Jagannath Puri.
Well, it's not mentioned whether it's the same Indradhanu Maharaj. I mean, even in our movement, we have an Indradhanu Maharaj. So there may be other kings. You know, like every king is called Gajapati, you know. So there may be other kings with that name.
Yeah.
So it's not really, in the Jagannath Puri story, it's not really mentioned whether that was the same Indradhanu Maharaj as in the Jagannath Puri story.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the acharyas have commented on that. I'd have to research in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. I have that on my computer to actually see if it was the same. Indradunya Maharaj. Maybe they have, maybe they've not commented on it. But in any case, his name was Indradunya. So, good question. Yes?
We know that Prabhupada went in Maharaj's time, a living, working example of Maharaj.
Yes.
Because intelligent people will read our books and say, well, it sounds very good, but I don't see it being practiced.
Yes.
So they need some, that's also for preaching, they need some living example. But so far we haven't been all that successful in establishing.
Yeah, Prabhupada said 50% of his mission was not carried out because of that. So, but first we got to start within our communities, and also there's many aspects of Varnashram. I mean, it's really important. Like if you go to Srirangam in South India, the whole city or town is divided according to Varnas, which is really interesting. Like the temple's in the center. And then the first circle is the brahmanas.
Okay.
Second circle, yeah, around the temple. Second circle, living situation. There's actually the whole road. Then you go to another road. You know, it's actually in a circle. It's really interesting, or square. But anyway, it's concentric. And then it's the kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. So the brahmanas are living with the brahmins. Vaishyas are living with the vaishyas, etc. And in the center section is the house of Venkatabhata, you know, who was a Brahmin where Lord Chaitanya stayed during the Chaturmash rainy season. And I actually went there. Even there's a deity there that was carved by Lord Chaitanya.
Oh, Lord Jagannath?
Lord Jagannath, yeah. He carved it with his own hands, the deity of Lord Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. Right up on the opposite. Anyone's been there?
No.
I've been there. But on opposite sides of the street, from where Lord Chaitanya stayed at Venkatabhata's house. And the descendants of Venkatabhata, some of the descendants who say they're descendants, at least live there. And that's the Brahmin section. So the Brahmins would live with the Brahmins. I mean, for example, the Kshatriyas, they like to watch cricket games. The Brahmins, you know, they may be a little interested. All right, what's happening? So you don't want to have a loud TV right next to where the Brahmins live. You know, can't sleep at night. Everybody's watching the cricket game in the UK. I noticed you moved the television anyway. It was interesting. The television, they originally had the television right next to my room, but they moved it into the office. Because they understood that if I was woken up in the middle of the night, and I said, everybody. So, but anyway, I walked in the office and saw them all watching the cricket game. So, you know, but a Brahmin's not really interested in that.
Yeah.
You know, what's this? Cricket, baseball, you know, who cares? But a Kshatriya, he's interested because it's chivalrous. You understand chivalry?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, it's not bad, it's good. It's just a different nature. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, yeah, we got to win. But a Brahmin, he doesn't care. If a Brahmin is challenged to a gambling match, the Brahmin will say, all right, you win.
You win.
Like when you had Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were challenged by that Digvijay Pandit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They just wrote the Jayapatra, you know. They just said, you win. Okay, you get win. Out. Get the hell out of here, you know. Don't bother us. But Jiva Goswami, he challenged them. But he's a Brahmin too, but he was young.
Yeah.
And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami said, basically, you took sannyas too young in life. Because he had that, you know, fighting spirit. But a Brahmin, if someone commits an offense against the devotees or against the deities, he gets angry. But if someone commits an offense against him, it's just like, you know, Hare Krishna, I love you. Like Haridas Thakur, he was being whipped at so many marketplaces, he never got angry at them. That's a Brahmin. He was a Brahmin, even though he was born in a Muslim family. Right? He never got angry.
Yeah.
He was praying for the benefit of the people who were whipping him. That's a Brahmin. Isn't it? Samodamat Dapaksho Cham. Shanti Raja Vamevacha, Ganavi Ganamasti Kyam Bharma Karma Swabhavacham. He was tolerant, merciful, etc. So that's what it means to be a Brahmin. Kshatriya, they like the challenge. Who's going to win? Wow. Pakistan is a bat now. Wow. Pray to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, let India win. My dear Radharada Kanta. Please let in, you know, that's Kshatriya. Vaishya, he's selling tickets to the game.
Yeah.
Vaishya doesn't care who wins, he's just like, confirmed.
Yeah, he got a profit.
He's getting profit, he's selling, you know, I have these extra tickets to the game. And a Shudra, he's just getting, drinking beer while the game is going on.
Isn't it?
Sometimes in India people drink beer during the cricket games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here also, the big game going on. Right?
Yeah, the people drink beer. That's Shudra.
After the game is over, those players going to win it. And
that's Shudra drinking beer. So we have to.
You have a party.
I have a party. So. Anyway, so whatever one is, one should be serving Krishna. Yes, we do need to establish, we need Varnashram communities, because Varnashram means communities.
But Maharaj,
yeah.
In that scenario, I have arising one question.
Yeah.
It should have to, by your nature, or superior will be tell you to make the division. Because by birth, since we have a nature, like a Kutri adamant, or Brahmanika,
Vaisnava,
so, how it
will
be more...
Well, Prabhupada did say, it's a business of the spiritual master to ascertain the nature of a disciple and engage him accordingly. So in society, in a Vedic society, it's hierarchical. So you do have older, senior people who advise you. Yeah, this is your nature. This is your nature. You should be managing. You should be... Yeah, so it is a hierarchical society and you do take advice. Because, you know, so many people would like to be Brahmins to make money. I want to be a Brahmin. That's a good business. You don't pay taxes. Wow. So, you know, so therefore you have the elders in society, you know, which in certain cases spiritual master or father, mother, you know, elders.
Let us have some superiors.
Superiors who help you understand your nature. Okay, I guess on that note, we have to end class. Thank you all for watching. We had a lot of people on the internet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.